Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Golf Zone Range by David Ledbetter. With the latest golf technology in Little Ferry, New Jersey, and now in Westbury, Long Island, learn golf faster. Visit www.golfzonerange, that's golf, Z-O-N, range.com. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. Coming to you from the Augusta National Media Center here in Augusta, Georgia, for the beginning of my favorite week of the year in golf, the Masters. And I am so excited to say hello to legendary caddy Joe LaCava, Hall of Famer. Joe caddied for a variety of champions, but is most known for caddying for Freddie Couples for 20 years, from 1990 to 2010, carrying the bag for Freddie's Masters win in 92. And then in 2011, when Tiger parted ways with Steve Williams, Joe and Tiger connected on what would be a 12-year run in which Tiger won 12 worldwide tournaments and his 15th major title, the 2019 Masters. And Joe will be caddying for Patrick Cantlay for the first time here at the Masters. Joe and Patrick Cantlay connected last May. Lots to get to, Joe. First of all, welcome to Talking Golf. I'm so happy that you're on.
Well, Ian, thanks. It's good to hear your voice and always good to be with you. And it's my favorite week by far of the year, too, so I'm jacked up.
I bet you're jacked up. Can you first describe the feeling that you get when you drive down Magnolia Lane heading to the Augusta National Golf Club?
You know, as caddies, we always look forward to this week. You know, I don't want to get all Jim Nance on us, but the tradition, just everything about the place. You know, how they've treated us over the years has gotten better and better each and every year, which is incredible for us. And again, it's just a special moment, special spot, special week, because you know that your player, they may not admit this, and it may not be the case for everyone, but I'm pretty sure 90% of the guys would say this is the tournament they want to win. And we as caddies know that, and we as caddies probably, it's our favorite to win too with our players. So everyone's jacked up as soon as they hit the grounds at Augusta National. It's an incredible week.
Well, you've been caddying for 25-plus Masters, right? I mean, that you're catching up to me. This is my 26th Masters covering it. And are the feelings, that excitement, as intense all these years later as when you first drove down Magnolia Lane?
For sure, Ann. I think when I was younger, you kind of took it for granted. You know, and I was fortunate enough to work for Fred, like you said, starting in 1990. And then when he won in 92, you know, as you know, you're exempt, you know, they say for life, whatever that might be, 60, 65, whatever it is. So, you know, when you're caddying for someone like Fred and you feel like their relationship is good, you know, you think you're going to be there every year. And that's not the case for everyone. You know, I've been fortunate to work for this, for Fred for 20 years and Tiger 10 plus and worked a lot of years at Augusta for those guys. But as I grow older, you know, knowing my days are kind of numbered, you know, I find myself with a little more appreciation, enjoying the week a little bit more. You know, you're still competitive. You still want your guy to win, obviously, but you're also going to take it all in and enjoy it. You know, like I said, as a kid or as a 20-something-year-old, you kind of took it for granted. But I absolutely love the place.
You love the place. And speaking of Freddie, he's just ageless. I mean, he became the oldest person to make the cut last year. 63 years, 6 months, 5 days, still going strong. So what's your favorite part about being in the center of the universe this week at Augusta National, would you say?
You know, I think, you know, you can't wait for Thursday to come around, but at the same time, like I just got through saying, you want to soak up the practice rounds. You know, we as caddies normally don't work to par three, but that's fun for me, even from afar, to see the kids come in and work, or the friends, whatever it might be, work for the players and caddy for the players. So Wednesday's a fun day as well. And obviously when I worked for Tiger, we played practice rounds with Fred, so that was always fun for me to spend some quality time with Fred. And we don't sit there and reminisce so much about 92, but we kind of, you know, we kind of look back at it and we're both happy it happened, obviously, and we have a few fond memories from that week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even though, you know, as a caddy, you're working pretty hard. It's a tough golf course to walk, certainly as you get older. But, you know, just everything about it, Monday through Sunday, I absolutely love. And then obviously once the gun goes off on Thursday, the adrenaline goes, you know, straight through the roof, and you're so jacked up on that first tee. It's just an amazing feeling.
So are you at the par three competition? Are you just kind of watching it live, or do you watch it on TV, or what do you do that day?
You know, we usually practice in the morning, and then we'll do some practicing early in the afternoon. And then, you know, in our caddy hut, you'll see the kids come in and get their uniforms on and their suits on. So it's fun just to see the kids kind of run around getting ready to caddy for their dads. And it's very exciting for me, you know, as a parent and stuff like that. And then we'll sit, maybe have a beer in the caddy shack and watch the par three. And it's incredible to see, you know, Jack and everyone else playing that thing and still play well. So it's a lot of fun for us caddies.
Well, I obviously want to talk about Tiger's incredible win at the Masters in 2019. At that point, he had won four Masters titles, you know, before that in 97, 2001, 2002, 2005. And then the road kind of after 2005 and when you connected with him in, 2011 and beyond was really one of intense controversy and many, many injuries for Tiger. I know he had, four back surgeries by 2017, and then he got into that. He was arrested in Florida in May of 2017, you know, when police discovered him asleep at the wheel of his car. And by September of 2017, he was cleared by doctors to begin swinging a club again. And I can remember him saying back then that it was possible that his career might be over. So just take us through those years, Joe, if you would, leading up to the 2019 Masters for Tiger, and then I'll obviously ask you about that Masters. But what were the years like kind of leading up to that improbable win in 2019?
Yeah, and, you know, I'd be lying if I said they were great. You know, there was plenty of dark moments and doubts for both of us. You know, I'll go back as far as 12 and 13, which was my first, you know, two full years with Tiger when he was pretty healthy. And he won eight times. He was player of the year, I think, the second year in 13 when he won five times. So first couple years, things were going great. I thought, you know, this is pretty automatic. This guy's like a machine, like we talked about and stuff like that. And then kind of came, like you said, the surgeries and stuff like that, four or five surgeries over the course of 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I know he was struggling, obviously. I wasn't struggling per se in terms of down in the press, but it was a bummer to be home and not doing much. You know, but I love Tiger so much, and I believed in him so much that I wanted to wait it out. And, you know, I kind of volunteered to wait it out because he kind of gave me the go-ahead to go ahead and do whatever I want if I wanted to try to caddy for someone else. But, you know, I stuck to my guns and wanted to keep with Tiger, which in the end, obviously, it worked out okay. But when 17 rolled around, like you mentioned, he didn't play one time on tour. The only tournament he actually played was his own tournament at the Hero in the Bahamas. I will say this, though. Because there wasn't a whole lot to do in 17 in terms of going down there to help Tiger in any way that I could, like I had in years past, because it was basically just a year of recovery. But when I did see him in the Bahamas and he played, you know, the scores weren't incredible, but I could tell the way he was moving around and the way he was hitting the ball and the power that he had, that's when I realized in December of 17, I don't think this guy's done. And obviously he proved me right when he had that great year in 18. He came close a couple times at a couple majors, and then finally won at the end of the year at the Tour Championship. It was an incredible moment. I guess what I got to tell people the most is, even though I wasn't there all the time, I was there enough, meaning in Florida, to see what he was going through, not only on the golf course trying to get his game back, but in the gym and in the rehab and stuff like that. The guy obviously has an incredible work ethic. I don't think if someone had the work ethic that he had, they couldn't get through it, because I don't think anyone could. But he's a very determined person. The good news is he loves being in the gym, so it's almost like second nature for him, and that's kind of his job. So when he got done with 18, you know, I wasn't thinking, okay, he's going to win the Masters next year. But obviously it was light at the end of the tunnel, knowing that he played well the entire season in 18, capped it off with that win, and had some momentum going into 19.
That's right, and he even finished runner-up to Koepka in that PGA Championship in 2018.
Right.
You know, before the Tour Championship. So he definitely had some momentum, but still, I mean, it just seems so improbable. And so that final round at the Masters, Sunday, April 14th, 2019. Now, ironically, the final round this year is on a Sunday, April 14th.
There you have it.
I don't know if that means anything.
No, I didn't even realize. I didn't put that together, but that's a nice touch.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So anyway, so I remember you know, that day. Play began very early. You know, they got everybody out like at 7:30. Threesomes went off on holes 1 and 10. Tiger had shot a 67 in the third round. And then he starts the final round, two shots behind Francesco Molinari. And what was his mindset back then, Joe? Do you remember? I mean, was it any different than before? Did you notice?
Well, I think, you know, I'll start by saying, like you just touched on, I think we got a little bit of a break in the fact that they moved the tee times up, which obviously Augusta doesn't want to do it. They want to have their 7 o'clock finish in prime time, and I get that. But I guess the storms that were looming were so bad they had no other choice for the safety of people. So we catch a break in the fact that we are now going from the second to last group in a twosome to the last group in a threesome, and we're playing with, like you said, Francesco, who's leading, and Tony, who I think is tied with Tiger for second place. So that was a big deal, I thought, for us, because it's a little different situation when you're playing with Tiger. You're playing with him in the last group. The crowd, even though at Augusta, obviously not pulling against anyone, but they're clearly pulling for Tiger to win this thing. So that was a big deal for us, I thought. And I love the fact that, like you said, Tiger shot 67 on Saturday, played well, had some momentum going. He didn't have to sit around until 3 o'clock and think about it and so on and so forth. We're just going to get up early the next morning and get after it. And the good news is Tiger can play good golf on 5 minutes of sleep. So that wasn't a concern as well. But, you know, I could tell when he came I met him in the parking lot in the mornings. I could tell when he came to the parking lot, he was all business. I mean, he could still, you know, throw a smile out there and have a little bit of fun. We did have a little bit of fun on the range. He's got to keep things loose a little bit. But I could tell he was going to be all business that day, and he was.
Wow. And so, you know, you think of that final round, and there were six players that had at least a share of the lead. You had Woods, Molinari, Cantley, Johnson, Xander, Schauffele, Brooks Koepka. And Koepka, you know, had been so strong in the majors. He had won three of, what, the previous seven that had been played at that point, leading to the 2019 Masters. And so Tiger gets out there, and what were your thoughts ever? He bogeys 4 and 5, and so now he's 3 behind at that point.
Yeah, not quite the start we were looking for, obviously. You know, he actually made a pretty good two-putt at number two just to make par because he hit it left and had a chip out. And then he hit a beautiful four-iron kind of the front center and had kind of a, you know, probably a 50 or 55-footer, somewhat of a tricky putt, probably a putt you're not going to practice too many times to that pin because you're thinking you're going to probably wedge it in there close. So to his credit, he makes a nice two-putt there to kind of save par, which, you know, if you bogey two, you're really kind of losing strokes to the field, and he comes back with a nice birdie on 3. But like you said, bogeys 4 and 5 and 5 for the fourth day in a row. Finally hit the green, actually. Hit the fairway and the green and 3-putted. But he actually, there's a bathroom over there up to 6T, and he kind of went in there and gave himself a little bit of a pep talk. Because like I said, it's not the start that you want, and now you're 3 back and you're 4 holes in, 5 holes in, so you only got 13 holes left. And he came out, same thing. He's obviously running a little bit hot, but not disgusted. He kind of regrouped, got his focus back, hit a beautiful shot on 6, and then he birdied 7 and 8 and kind of off to the races. So I think that little pep talk he gave himself in the bathroom, I didn't have to say anything, and just give himself to refocus and get, you know, positive vibes again was a big help.
And so what were you thinking on the 11th hole when you were seeing the theatrics at that point of the players in front of you who were doing their thing on 12?
Yes, my sort of thing on 11 is once my guy has hit his shot into the green, you know, the job's not over. We still got to worry about the 11th hole. But you automatically, for those 200 yards, you're going to peek over and see what's going on at 12. And, of course, I did that. And people always ask me, did Tiger pay attention? Did he say anything? You know, I can see him looking over there, but nothing needs to be discussed. We can both clearly see that, you know, Ian Poulter came up short, was in the water taking a drop, and so was Brooks. And I think Webb Simpson was over the green. So I immediately say to myself, okay, I can't feel a lot of wind right now on the 11th hole. But having said all that, those guys are world-class players. So the first two guys probably went first, didn't hit enough club, or they got fooled by the wind. And then Webb probably took one extra club and went over the green. So you know something tricky is going on up there, even though you can't actually feel it. So we get done with 11. You know, Tiger makes a nice par. And Francesco's first up on 12. And Tiger and I have already discussed the numbers, and we already have our club picked out. We know it's going to be a 9-iron, and you know he's going to go 30 to 40 feet left of the hole like he always does, regardless of the position he's in the tournament. I think he feels, without talking about it, you know, that's not where you win the tournament. That's where you can lose the tournament. It's a par hole to him, certainly with that pin anyways. And if he's two back, he doesn't feel like he needs to go after the pin there. There's still plenty of holes to make up that two-shot margin. And so to watch a guy in front of you hit an 8-iron in the water short, and now you're going to hit one less club, you're thinking to myself, maybe there's some doubt. But he never had any doubt. He stuck to his guns. The one thing that I think it helped with Tiger was I think he hit a little bit more of a full 9-iron than he normally would have had he been up there first. But to see Molinari come up short with an 8-iron, that made him hit it harder. And then as he hits it about three-quarters of the way there, you can kind of see it stall out a little bit. You know, never in a panic mode where it's not going to get over the water, but at the same time, you can see it stall out. But he hit it solid enough and full enough where it's going to get on the green, and then he capped that by making a nice – he probably came up 6 or 7 feet short on the birdie putt, and he made a nice 6 or 7 footer for par, and then we were off to the races. That was the first time that I said to myself, okay, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. You're on the 13th tee. But I said to myself, if Tiger can hit some fairways here, which I know he's going to, it's his tournament to be had because I consider him the best iron player of all time, and we're going to have nothing but middle irons into all these holes coming in, and that's his bread and butter.
We are talking to Joe LaCava, who caddied for Tiger Woods when Tiger won the 2019 Masters. And then, Joe, I'm so glad you're on Talking Golf. It's just so great to hear your memory and your description of what's really going on with all of this. You know, Tiger takes the outright lead with a birdie on 15 and just never relinquished his lead after that. Molinari, he double bogeyed there.
Yeah, a little surprising that Francesco, you know, kind of, you know, it's easy now, but I mean, I guess you don't really anticipate hitting the ball that high from that short a distance. But, you know, before Francesco hits his third shot into 15, Tiger hits a beautiful 5-iron from 227 yards, pin high, maybe 40 feet right of the hole. I tell people he basically made a 2 there. And so if you're Francesco, you're thinking to yourself, okay, you know, he's going to 2-putt this thing and make birdie, and he's going to take a 1-up lead on me. So you kind of – he's not forcing the issue, but in order to get it close to that pin when you lay it up to the left like Francesco did, you're going to have to hit it pretty high and pretty soft because you don't want to create too much spin where it's going to come off the green. So I think he's trying to hit something that comes in high and soft, maybe takes one hop and stops. And when you do that, obviously, you know, you hit it a little bit higher than you might normally do, and that's when he hit the tree, and it goes in the water. I wasn't anticipating that. I don't think anyone was, but obviously it was a break for us. And then Tiger converts a nice 2-putt for birdie to take a 1-shot lead. And again, now he's got some momentum. Now he's first on the next hole. And then we have a nice number on 16 for a full 8-iron for Tiger. He can go ahead and hit this thing. He probably can't hit it past the hole. He can rip an 8-iron, which was a nice, comfortable number for a big, solid 8-iron for Tiger.
And I remember reading where you said on 16, you thought that's probably as calm as you'd ever seen Tiger on a golf course. His ball landed, 3 feet from the cup. And he said, not that I've ever seen him antsy, but there was certainly a calmness and a confidence that he was going to get this thing done.
Yeah, I saw it in other tournaments working for him, obviously. I hadn't quite seen it in that big of a moment. And I'll go back to 15. Tiger hits a beautiful drive down the right center of the fairway. He's got 227. So as it turns out, it's a perfect 5-iron for him. But for whatever reasons, you know, we have a little bit of a weight there, which is absolutely no fun. But you got a 5-iron on your hand on a tight lie, knowing, you know, if you thin this thing a little bit, goes over the green, and that chip is zero fun. And obviously, if you hit a little bit heavy, it comes up in the water, and you can make whatever. So I felt myself getting a little antsy in the 15th fairway, and I'll never forget this look he gave me, because I'm kind of looking up at the clubhouse to see that big USA flag to see what's doing, because sometimes you can't always tell what the wind's doing down there. And it really wasn't blowing much. And I remember kind of circling around, getting antsy because Brooks was putting, and I'll never forget the look Tiger gave without saying a word. But I could read his mind almost just to say, don't worry, Joe, I got this thing covered. I've been here 100 times. So that kind of calmed me down a little bit, which was kind of cool.
And then he just stripes his tee shot on 17. You said it was the best shot of the tournament for Tiger.
You know, for me it was. I mean, it's not Tiger's favorite driving hole. you know, it's a fairly tight hole. It calls for, you know, more or less a straight shot, which isn't always the most fun shot. Obviously, you can draw it or cut it, but I mean, it kind of sets up for a straight ball. Tiger hit this 1-foot cut very, very solid. And, you know, I knew he hit it very well and very solid. He picked up that tee right away. And again, very confident, you know, been there, done this. But when we get up to the fairway and he's a yard past Tony Finau, who that hadn't been the case all day. Obviously, there's some adrenaline there, and just tells you how solid he hit it in a clutch moment like that. And then once he hit that shot, we had a nice, comfortable 9-iron there. He hit it about 12, 15 feet. So he was firing on all cylinders for sure.
And Koepka missed a birdie attempt, and I think it was at that point that you knew all he needed, you know, was a bogey on 18, and he would still win, right?
Yeah, when we're playing 17, obviously Brooks, I think, hit it pretty close on 17. But when we're on 17T, you know, my thought as a caddy is, you know, if you do the math, Brooks is probably longer than Tiger. So I'm thinking to myself, he's probably going to have a wedge in the 17 or wedge or nine iron in 18. So I feel like he's going to give himself two good chances. And like you said earlier, I didn't realize this, but he won three of the previous seven majors. So obviously he's a world-class player. So I'm anticipating at least one birdie, maybe two. But he doesn't birdie 17, and then with Tiger par 17, we got a nice lead there, and he doesn't. And then once Brooks pars 18, not like you said, now we know we just got to make a five.
Wow! And what was it like for you? I mean, we saw Tiger's emotions, hugging his kids and his mom, but what about your emotions when he closed it out for his fifth green jacket?
Yeah, listen, it's an incredible feeling. You know, I go back to 92 when Fred did it. Again, maybe I took it for granted. And like I said, as you get older, you appreciate it more. You know, Tiger's a little bit older now. You know, so two things that I'll never forget, you know, on that green was, you know, when Tiger's done congratulating with the other players and caddies, he comes to me and hugs me. But as he's coming to me for a hug, he says, "We did it." Now, in today's world, a lot of caddies and players are very good friends. But I don't know how many guys are going to say we did it first thing out of their mouth. So for him to say that, and then on top of that, he completely means it. You know, for me, the time that I worked for him, I felt like it was more friend and buddy versus caddy. I wasn't his employee, and he never treated me like that. You know what I mean? First and foremost, I was a friend. So for him to say that on 18 Green was incredible, and even more incredible the fact that he 100% meant it. And then the moment got even better when he goes to the back of the green and hugs his kids and his mom, which to me is incredible. Came full circle from the time they won for the first time in 97 with his parents there. So, you know, as a parent of a couple of kids, I can appreciate that moment and how special it was for him and the kids.
That's just amazing. I mean, I could talk about this like for all week, but let's move on a little bit here. Tiger, he came in for a practice round about a week ago, played with Augusta National Chairman Fred Ridley, played with his buddy Justin Thomas. Do you think Tiger at this stage, knowing what has been going on all year, he hasn't really played competitively in an official tournament other than the Genesis Invitational, and he only played one round in six holes, and then withdrew because of the flu. But can Tiger win another Masters title at this point, do you think, Joe?
You know, I never say never. I wouldn't put it past the guy. You know, I talked to him a little bit. We talk, you know, a decent amount via text these days, but I talked to him a little bit in person at LA. And I think, you know, the most important thing for him is he's in a lot less pain on a day-to-day basis, which I think will allow him to practice some more. Even though, like you just said, he hasn't played anything but basically the Genesis, I think down the road he can practice more. He can maybe play a little bit more. And I'm sure he's been practicing at home pretty hard. It's his favorite tournament of all time, so I wouldn't put anything past him. I mean, is it going to be tough, you know, with all these world-class players, Scottie Scheffler, so on and so forth, playing, you know, pretty much every week, playing well and practicing? Of course they have the upper hand, not to mention the age. But, you know, you never count Tiger out of anything, that's for sure.
Well, let's talk about the guy you're caddying for this week, Patrick Cantlay. His best finish this year is tied for fourth at the Genesis. In 2019, his best finish was tied for ninth at the Masters. What does Patrick need to do to win this week?
Well, I think, you know, like everybody, I mean, he's going to have a short game, you know, he's going to have an A-plus short game. You know, there's so much feel around these greens, and I think Pat's in the point of his career where he's played Augusta National enough that he knows, you know, how to get balls up and down on the greens, how to two-putt from, you know, from crazy putts on those greens. I think he certainly drives it well enough. As you know, he's one of the best drivers on the tour. He's certainly long enough, and he's certainly straight enough. And obviously, he's got a nice iron game. So I think it's going to come down to a short game for Pat. And the good news for me is he's one of the best pitchers and chippers of the ball that I've ever seen. So, I like his chances as much as anyone. I know he's been home working hard for 3 weeks. And, you know, we've talked about the fact that, you know, for me anyways, I think you need all parts of your game to be clicking at Augusta National. But I think it's important that you have great touch and feel around the greens, and he does have that.
Now, would you have wanted him to play in the last week or two to come in with, you know, more competitive play leading into this week?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it both ways. I mean, he's going to come off 3 weeks off, but at the same time, you know, we had a pretty busy West Coast schedule, played 5 of the 7 events, and then he played the 2 weeks in Florida. So I think it's up to each individual. You know, you got to kind of know your body and your mind. I mean, I think he was ready for, you know, a physical and mental break, which I'm fine with. And, you know, he tossed around the idea of playing this week, and I told him, he says, what do you think? I said, listen, I'm not with you right now. You got to do what's best for, you know, like I just talked about, best for you both mentally and physically. If you feel like you need a little more time to rest and get ready at home, then I'm all for that. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you have to make your own call. You know, like Phil back in the day always wanted to play the week before because he felt like he was in, you know, game mode and competitive and stuff like that. A guy like Tiger never played the week before, so you can't argue with either guy. They both had a lot of success in majors. So it's just kind of up to the individual.
So what's it like caddying for him, say, compared to Tiger or Freddie?
You know, it's similar in terms of the way they play the game. They, you know, they all have some power. You know, their MO is to kind of eat up the par fives. And, you know, they're going to do well, obviously, when they putt well. You could say that about everybody. You know, I mean, Pat's pretty stoic, but I think he's pretty emotional inside. And he cares a lot. He may not just show it. Obviously, Tiger's going to show it to you and wear it on his sleeve. And Fred's kind of somewhere in between. But in terms of working for them on the golf course, you know, they're great to me. They're pretty easy to work for. You know, I think with Pat, I'm reading a few more putts, which I'm so jacked up about because I love to read putts. So I think I'm in the game a little bit more on the green, which I absolutely love. And I think the sky's the limit for Pat, and the best stuff for him is ahead.
Is reading the greens the way you do, is that a talent that you're born with, Joe, or does it develop with more and more experience?
You know, that's actually a pretty good question. I feel like you're born with it for the most part. Can you get better at it if you caddy a lot or just read your own green and stuff like that? Maybe so. You know, most of the guys I play with, all my buddies, you know, they read them okay. They're not bad at it. But I tell people, you guys are out here kind of blowing off steam and getting away from work. So you're not here to grind. See, like my job's to grind. So I enjoy grinding and reading greens and stuff like that. I think, you know, I don't know, I grew up playing golf a little bit and played a little bit of high school golf, but I don't feel like I've gotten better over the years caddying. I just think I've always been a halfway decent green reader, and it's just something you kind of have or you don't have.
Well, I am blessed to have a front row seat to watch and talk about extraordinary performances in sport. But you, my friend, have more than a front row seat. You're right there in the action and have been such a huge part of all the history. It's just incredible. Do you ever pinch yourself? A kid from Connecticut who has been so close and so much a part of this incredible history.
Yeah, you know, and that's also another good point. You know, sometimes I do, I look back and say, wow, I can't believe I worked for Tiger for whatever it was, 10, 11, 12 years or over 100 tournaments, and was fortunate enough to be there when he won the Masters and won TPC. And same thing with Freddie, won the Masters, and it was, you know, player of the year a couple times. And, you know, it's like I said, I've been fortunate in a couple respects. The fact that I've worked for nothing but, you know, Hall of Famers, great players. And then on top of that, which is probably even the better part of it, is, you know, I've worked for great guys that I've gotten along with and I've done a lot of fun stuff with. So I guess as I get older, maybe when I'm done, I'll appreciate it more. But I think I do appreciate it along the way. And again, I've been very fortunate to work for these guys.
Well, you have to write a book. I know you can't, but you have to. Because the stories you must have and all the memories that you really do. I mean, there's so much to remember, and you do remember it pretty well, right? You're not forgetting any major points or stories. You probably just can't tell them.
Well, I mean, you know, I can share some with, you know, buddies over a couple beers, that kind of thing. And there's, like you said, there's plenty of good, funny stories. And I've had so many laughs with all the guys. And it's fun because, you know, for me, it doesn't always happen this way. But, you know, when I went to work for Tiger, you know, Fred and I have remained the best of friends. And, you know, I went to work for Pat recently. You know, Tiger and I have become probably even closer, and we talk about the kids more and stuff like that. So it's nice that all the relationships are still there. They ended well, and everything was, was great in between. So again, you know, very, very fortunate here. But yeah, incredible. I mean, to share some of these stories and what I've seen and done has been crazy good.
Well, I can't thank you enough for sharing some of these stories and memories with us. Continued success, Joe LaCava, and have fun out here this week at Augusta National.
Thanks, Ian. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thanks so much. Golf Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Golf Zone Range by David Ledbetter, with the latest golf technology in Little Ferry, New Jersey, and now in Westbury, Long Island. Learn golf faster. Visit www.golfzonerange, that's golf, Z-O-N, range.com. And by iBeCool athleisure wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com.